Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your host of The Creative Alchemist. And we come to you every Thursday live, and we talk about business. I'm never here alone. I always have my co-host, Lori Miller, and she and I are here to always talk about business. We've even talked about health. We talk about money, managing money, and in the middle of this COVID-19, it's become even more important that we discuss not just your money matters. As entrepreneurs, as employees, it's important to have great health also. At some point, this will be over, and I'm going to stop there, and Lori, let them know you're here, and we have a guest today.
Thank you, Ted. So this is Lori Miller, LGC Interior Design. I'm an interior designer and a mental health therapist. And I'd like to talk a little bit about our special guest tonight. I call him Dr. Matt. His name is Dr. Matt Lewis. And presently, he's working out of Tampa, and he's also licensed in New York. So Dr. Matt has done wonders for me, so I'm a personal testament. And when I went to Dr. Matt, I was unable to get out of bed, sick, and had just been diagnosed with bladder cancer. So I'd like to say that I'm still alive because of Dr. Matt. And I'm actually functioning and multiple projects, doing a podcast, and it's all because of him. So I'm going to let Dr. Matt introduce himself and tell you a little bit about his background. But I did want to say that it was just a personal, very good recommendation from myself to have someone special to me. So thank you, Dr. Matt, for being here, and I'll leave you to the public.
Yes, thank you, guys. Thank you, Lori. I appreciate that introduction. It was more than kind. And I'm so happy that I did have a chance to help you many years ago, it feels like, at this point. But I started out, you know, practicing clinical nutrition, functional medicine is another name for it now. I've been doing that for, you know, just about 20 years now. I'm just under 20 years. Started on Long Island, Comac, and moved to Plainview, and now I'm here in Tampa, and I also do telemedicine. So actually before COVID-19, we were doing virtual calls. But I know a lot of people might not really understand exactly what that means. Certainly we'll have time for questions tonight, but when you say holistic medicine or clinical nutrition, you know, what is that? Is that somebody waving a wand over me? what does it entail, you know? So I would just make it really simple for people and just let you know, it's just about addressing the root cause of your, whatever the health concerns a person might have. And I think that happiness is probably the most important thing when it comes down to health. So I like to just say that what I do is just try to make people happier in their lives, just try to bring more joy. It's not because I'm a jovial guy like Santa Claus. It's because I studied nutrition. It's because I know how to look at lab work. And, I've helped people who have really chronic conditions, everything from heart disease, diabetes, autoimmunity. Certainly I've seen patients who've had cancer. I don't treat any of those conditions. I just try to find the underlying cause, which is usually related. In some way, there's going to be an influence through nutrition. There's going to be influence through your exercise, supplements you take, environmental issues, stress. And in a typical doctor visit, I think one of the biggest challenges that we have is we only have about 3 minutes, if we're lucky. And if you have the best doctor in New York, you might get 15 or 20 minutes. And you might get that once or twice a year, depending on why you're going in. But I find that it's more important to build a relationship where you could spend more time with a person, really understand what is at the root of their issues. And it just takes time. And the current sick care system doesn't address that. We do a good job with things like COVID-19 and getting prepared and getting ventilators, but we don't really do a great job at chronic illness or prevention of that. So in a nutshell, I would say that's what I do.
Yeah, I was going to say prevention. I mean, that's a big deal, and I think you have a huge emphasis on that. Would that be fair to say, Matt?
an emphasis on, I'm sorry?
Prevention.
Oh, absolutely, prevention. And, you know, when you look at what's going on with COVID-19, I mean, 95, they just published, I think it was in the New England Journal of Medicine or Lancet, I'm not sure, but it's one of the, you know, top medical publications, peer-reviewed, and the article just came out that, you know, 95% of the people that are unfortunately succumbing to COVID-19, and I'm not talking about getting the virus, I'm talking about actually not making it past the virus, unfortunately. And I know if, you know, our listeners are from New York, I think we might all know somebody now who's passed away. But it's 95% of those people had a pre-existing chronic condition. So, you know, it wasn't people who, and what are those pre-existing conditions, right? I mean, those are mostly preventable. So you're looking at heart disease, diabetes, different types of cancers. You know, those were the main conditions. Even just being overweight, people don't realize that they're pre-diabetic because they never had anybody to look at it.
Right.
Interesting.
So one of the biggest things, I guess, that you taught me, too, is food, you know, and all the different things that kill your immune system or really attack it. I don't know if you want to get into that now.
Sure, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you think about food, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for anyone who wants to call in and ask you questions, the phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640, and I'll be quiet, and you can go on, Matt.
So that would be great, Ted, if people want to call in. That's wonderful. I'm happy to answer their questions. I know a lot of people have questions right now with what's going on, and certainly I've seen people, you know, trying to pay more attention to their health. I think it goes both ways. There's also people who are ignoring their health. They're stuck in confined spaces, and, you know, they're stressed, and they might be stress eating. But, Lori, you know, you alluded to, you know, nutrition and what you eat basically being really important. And, I mean, we just have to look a little bit more in this country as food is medicine. And if food really can be your medicine, it can help you. It could also hurt you, depending on what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
So I think most people are pretty aware of what the most inflammatory foods are. It's your sugars, right? A lot of people
right.
have problems with excess amount of grains, your breads, your pastas. There's quite a few people with chronic conditions that don't realize it, but they might be sensitive to certain proteins in those grains that cause gut issues for them. And if your gut is not happy, your immune system's not happy, you're going to get inflamed. So based on what you're eating, you're either going to create inflammation or reduce inflammation. If you're eating, let's say, a lot of red meat, I mean, red meat's not bad, but we have to think about where does that food come from. So it may not be the red meat that, you know, your grandmother or your great-grandmother or grandfather
right.
would eat it.
Right.
Because that meat used to graze, you know, on clean grass that had plenty of nutrients, and you get good fat from that, actually. But now, you know, we grain feed our cattle. There's a lot of herbicides and pesticides. And I don't know that people know this, but we have to feed the cattle so many antibiotics and antifungals to kill because the grains are stored, like, in these silos. And by the time the cows get the grains, they don't give them the best of the bunch. They're getting really moldy, very toxic type of grains. And so they get sick. And so you have to treat the animal.
Wow.
You're basically eating this sick animal. And,
wow.
you know, there is a movement towards grass-fed right now. So, Lori, I know you understand this. And when we talk about food, it's not just like, okay, well, I'm eating healthy because I'm eating some protein and I'm eating some veggies. Well, what kind of protein? What kind of veggies? Are the veggies organic? Not everybody could necessarily feel like they could afford to do that. But in some ways, we can't
right.
afford not to. Because
right.
we're having a salt that comes in from all these processed foods, the pesticides. And I think for a long time, it was kind of like this thing where, you know, it just sounds like odd, you know, I'm eating an apple. How could that not be healthy? Well, apples are
right.
the most like pesticide ridden foods. So that's
right.
coming into your body too. Yeah.
So
yep.
just to share with you, Matt, to support what you're saying, I spent a number of years living abroad, and one of the first countries I went to was Belize. And I lived with Mayan Indians out in the jungle, literally, like
wow.
No electricity, no running water. I lived in a hut, dirt floor, palm leaf roof, and very much an agricultural society. And I did everything. I stayed with the family, and I worked with the men. You know, he had several children, and only one of his sons was old enough to work with him. He was 18. And you talk about organic food. They only used, like, we would chop down the jungle, make a hole in the ground, and drop the corn in it. That's no pesticides, no machines, nothing. You know, talk about handmade, right? And
wow.
The food, and I would say there were several factors, but I'd say the food was major, but just not living in a microwave and telephone environment. I would say that made a difference in taking a bath in a pond, and there were, you know, no chemicals, no factories. But the food, this was absolute organic because no pesticides. And you talk about nutrients. When they plant their food in one location, no one's allowed to plant in that same area for 7 years. So the soil completely replenishes all the nutrients. So
the nutrient-rich,
right,
of what we're doing.
Right. So I'm saying all that to say, when I came back, and I didn't just stay there. I went through 8 countries. But when I came back to the U.S., what I found is I was eating a lot of food, but even though my stomach was full, my body was still starving because I had gotten used to having foods that were more nutrient-rich. So I had to eat more to get the nutrients. And I was, you know, I was working out in the gym. It just took a lot more. So I said, wow, the amount of food, if I wasn't working out, I would have gained a lot of weight because of the amount of food I needed to feed my body, not my stomach. And I think maybe a lot of people may be dealing with that. And maybe you want to talk a bit about that and make, you know, how people can get the most nutrients that the body needs.
Well, one of the that's a great point. I mean, the soils are definitely depleted, and this is where, you know, I'd like to, if I can spin it a little more positively, because when I speak about these things, knowing what I know, there's a lot of challenges that people are faced with, right? You know, are we getting the right foods? Are they organic? You know, are they grass-fed? And, you know, the pesticides,
right,
and all this kind of environmental issues that you raise as well, and stress levels that people have. And it's like a bucket, you know. If you put all this stuff in a bucket over your lifetime, you start to fill that bucket up and you overflow. And so we can talk about those things all day. And because there's no, I mean, we got 80,000 chemicals that we're exposed to on a regular basis. The question, I think, becomes, you know, we have to start getting more practical. What are we going to do about it? Like, what can I do as an individual? What can I do as a family, you know, as a mom or a dad or a business owner to help? Because in my experience, like, the business owners have been my best clients over the years, for sure. That's a guarantee, because they care about their health because they know they have to. Because
right,
if they can't get up to run their business, no one's going to run it for them. And so one of the things we could start to do right away is we need to start supplementing with quality supplements, right? That right there, you're going to, you
right,
know, you're not getting the soil that's turned and, you know, waiting 7 years for the next crop, which is a great thing, but you're not getting that here. So that means you have to supplement. And if you're thinking about what you're buying on the shelves in Costco or Walmart or, you know, wherever these things are mass manufactured, a lot of this stuff is coming from China. A lot of the stuff has its own set of toxins in it. I wouldn't feed it to my pets. I don't have pets, by the way. But my kids want them, but my wife won't allow it. But, you know, I really wouldn't. I wouldn't feed it to the pets. Not everything's created equal. When they do studies on these, they actually can show you that there are things that are in the supplements that shouldn't be there, and there are things that should be there that are not there. So you have to get it from a trusted source. You got to really know what you're doing with it. I think that's important. But that's one thing right away. I had a friend of mine about 5 years ago at a poker game. I hadn't seen him in a while. I grew up with him. And he said to me, all right, I know you do this stuff and whatever you do, but can you just tell me one thing I can do? What's just one thing? I go, what are you doing now? He goes, nothing. You don't take any supplements? Nothing. I go, okay, just take vitamin D. Just start with that, 5,000 units a day. So I saw him again a couple of years later at the same poker game, and he said, man, I took your advice. He goes, I can't believe how much more energy I had. I can't believe how much better I slept. Like, I was having problems for years. I mean, everybody's deficient in vitamin D, so that's an easy one. And we should all be supplementing with vitamin D for a variety of reasons. You should have your blood checked for that. But that's just one vitamin, right? That's one thing. And so people are tired. People are not sleeping well. People have brain fog. And, you know, they're stressed. And when you're in that situation under stress, too, you're going to burn through more nutrients. Like you talked about working out, that's a good stress on your body, but it's still a stress, right? So you're going to use more. So, but by the way, the person who's 30 pounds overweight, 40 pounds overweight, has diabetes, has prediabetes, is on medication for cholesterol, for, you know, blood pressure, they're burning through a lot of nutrients, too, because a sick body, a body that's in a state of disease or not in homeostasis, is working harder to try to keep some
down.
So you're going to find deficiencies across the board, whether you're looking at a bodybuilder or you're looking at somebody who has a chronic condition. It just depends. You just, why is it there for that person, right? And then you have to address the lifestyle factor that might be causing that.
So let me ask you, Matt, are what you're talking about now when you're saying food or nutrients, supplements, is that what you consider to be functional or holistic medicine? And could you say, sort of in a nutshell, what is functional or holistic medicine?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Ted. You know, so functional medicine basically is getting to the root cause of whatever is causing that person that's coming to see the doctor, the root cause of why they feel the way they feel, why they have the conditions that they have. So just as an example, go back to blood pressure. So functional medicine in theory, by the way, is not different than what medicine maybe used to be, maybe should be, but just is not. Okay. So it'll make a lot of sense for people. If you have blood pressure issue, right? So you go to the doctor, what do? They say, okay, you have high blood pressure. And they might say, okay, go do a diet, go exercise, come back, we'll check you again since that was the first time. So you go out into the world, you do whatever it is that, you know, you're supposed to do. By the way, it's not anybody's fault, but most people don't succeed at that for a variety of reasons. It's not enough information. They're not going to change their lifestyle based on that visit. They come back in. And maybe the doctor tells them to reduce the sodium. Those would be things that are getting to the root cause. But now they come back in, and their blood pressure is still high. So what does the doctor do? He takes out his pad or her pad. He writes the script. You get the script. Now your blood pressure looks normal on the next visit, and you and the doctor and everybody in your family is happy because your blood pressure is controlled. You're not going to have a stroke right now. That's a positive thing. Now, what would happen if I took away your blood pressure medication or if you ran out of it?
Right.
Your blood pressure is going back up, right? So you did not really address the root cause of the issue. So no problem with blood pressure medication. So as long as you address the root cause of the issue, guess what would happen? You get to come off of it because it's not going to be high anymore. So functional medicine says, listen, you know, patient, you have a choice. You can stay on blood pressure medication your whole life. Those aren't really the types of patients that I try to cultivate in my practice, or you can kind of let me guide you, let me coach you, let me work with you to show you how you can actually come off that medication. Because in the typical cardiologist's office, people aren't coming off their blood pressure medication. Like that's not a, you know, more people are getting on it than coming off it, right? So we understand people need guidance. And there's a lot of different reasons that blood pressure could go high. It could be a nutrient deficiency, could be stress, a lot of factors. So we modify the lifestyle factors, and then we try to get to the root cause. Magnesium deficiency is a huge reason for high blood pressure. So back to the nutrients in the soil.
Wow.
Magnesium is the number one mineral deficiency in our country, probably across the globe, but for sure in the States. So we have a bunch of people walking around with high blood pressure just because they don't have enough magnesium. We just put that in, and their heart palpitations and blood pressure would go away. Yeah.
Huh. Hey, Matt. One second. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you're saying some great things, and perhaps we have some callers. I don't know, Lori, and maybe someone has some questions around what you're saying right now.
Yep, we have a caller. If you want to introduce yourself, say where you're from, your name.
What's the area? Let them know the area code.
347.
347, you're live and on the air with the Creative Alchemist. What's your name and where are you calling from?
They're still there,
but
I don't hear.
Just put them on hold.
Yeah,
put them on hold. They may want to just listen.
Perfect. All right. If you want to say anything, we're here. Okay. We had another caller, but they hung up. Sorry, Matt. All right. Where were we? The magnesium. I guess
that's what happens when you talk too much.
No, you're fine. Sometimes people are shy about some of these personal things. So, anyway.
When you talk about high blood pressure.
Oh, yeah. So I was just talking about high blood pressure and, you know, how magnesium can impact that. And basically a long answer to, you know, what is functional medicine. So I think it's just what's in your tool bag a little bit, you know. In functional medicine, a doctor is going to be more open to pulling in some more natural remedies that would get to the cause of the issue. Whereas in conventional medicine, it's more algorithm-based. If I'm the doctor and you have high blood pressure, the book doesn't tell me to give you magnesium. It tells me to give you, blood pressure medication. And just to lightly talk to you about lifestyle, make a note about that, and come back and we'll see where you are. But we can just see in our culture that's not working, and it won't work.
So, Matt, you and I had a really good conversation, and I want to take kind of a top-down approach, right? So I told you I've been, you know, I'm 57. I've been working out since I was 11, and there hasn't been 1 year that has gone by when I didn't train, you know, in this time. I've competed in sports in high school, and even afterwards, I competed in different sports. And I still train. I still work out. I still, you know, many 25-year-old guys, if they spend a week in the gym working out with me, they might not make it through the week or they won't come the next week. So I'm still, like, I'm physically fit, right? And I do it because it's who I am, and I love being fit. At the same time, it doesn't – just because I work out and I'm a vegetarian – it doesn't always mean that I'm healthy. So there may be people who are listening and may take for granted. You know, I know there can be some inherent illnesses, like, you know, you inherit things from your family. It could be, and you can talk about that. But now there may be other people like me, men or women. And what are the things that you look for that you're concerned about when someone just believes, hey, I'm already healthy, and I don't even need to consider myself, and especially in this COVID-19 environment. What are your approaches to people who are like me?
Right. Well, people like yourself who are, you know, would consider themselves healthy, but you're backing it up with what you're saying too, right, Ted? I mean, you're working out, you're eating vegetarian, so I'm imagining a better lifestyle than probably the typical American. So for someone like you, we're going to look to optimize your health. We want to make sure, like you said, are there genetic influences that might be there that we should be ahead of? So if there's a family history of Alzheimer's or dementia or heart disease, there are things that you can do now to be proactive to prevent that. And you're already doing some of them, but maybe there's other things that need to happen. We might look at labs to look for signs of inflammation in the arteries. So a person might plaque in their arteries. You might see that, you know, 30 years down the line, you know, when they're in their 70s or 80s, but you can see 20 years before that, the signs that plaquing would start. And it's not high cholesterol. There are other inflammatory markers that we look at in the blood. So, you know, we would want to just check those things to make sure that they're not there. If they were there, then we have plenty of time to deal with them. And I would also, you know, submit to you that I've just been doing this long enough where I just don't take anybody at face value.
Right, right.
I want to get in and I want to see the dirt, you know? Just like, you know, we talk about this, like in a business, you know, somebody can have a storefront business that looks really nice and it's shiny and it looks like they have good food and everything looks good. But if you go back and you look at their books, you're like, man, this business is not healthy. Like that guy, his name? Le Mans, that does those shows. I love that guy. But, you know, he goes into the business and he can see, okay, well, you got this debt and you got this happening. And that's part of life. That's normal. That's part of business. But it's the same thing with our health. I mean, there's a lot of things that people might not be looking at that, like, for example, I'll just use my own self here. I played sports. I've had multiple concussions. I've had 3 or 4 concussions over my life, right? So if I go to the doctor, my blood pressure is normal. My pulse is normal. You know, everything checks out normal. My labs check out normal. But if I take, like, a couple of years ago, I took a test, right, to assess for memory. And I saw, oh, wait, I'm not, you know, I don't have major issues. But I could see there's some deficits over here, right? And then you tie that back to the concussion history. Then I took an MRI of my brain with something called a neuroquant. Neuroquant measures the different structures in your brain. And you can see there's an area of atrophy or loss. And then there's areas of swelling. And so what's going to happen is over time, that will continue to degenerate. So I want to be on top of that. So I'm taking nutrients and supplements that would support brain function, that would help my brain to reduce inflammation in the brain, give it extra nutrients to get oxygen. So those are the kinds of things, you know, we check out okay, but it depends on how we're looking, right? What are we actually looking for?
Right. So now let's say I'm an outlier, right? So I'm the average person doesn't have the lifestyle I had. So let's look at someone who, you know, average, you know, they take care of themselves, they go for a walk, they watch what they eat, take a multivitamin. Would you look at that person the same way you would look at me, or is there a different approach? And what are the things that you look for in that case?
You're saying the average person coming in.
Right, just the average person.
Yeah.
So they walk, yeah. they don't necessarily work out in the gym.
Right. So the average
they think
person,
about
the
what
way
they
we...
eat, they eat dessert, they eat, you know, sugary food, you know, they do all the things the average person, but they're not overweight, though.
Yeah, I gotcha. I mean, what we do is we start out with a pretty long intake, and on that intake, we ask questions about the diet, we ask questions about, you know, family history and all that kind of medical history. But it's a little bit more detailed than what people are used to. We're looking at different symptoms that they might be treating over the counter, or they might not be really paying attention to, but they wake up every morning with sinuses or their sleep is restless. So they're not necessarily going to a doctor complaining about it. So we do a whole inventory. That's where we start. And that starts to give you kind of a feel for, you know, what's the health of this person. A healthy person should, you know, in an ideal situation, be sleeping properly. Very important. Most important thing for your immune system right now is that you're getting sleep. Healthy person should have enough energy to get them through the day, not feel like they're crashing or napping or needing to nap. Their mood should be fairly stable. I mean, we all have different personalities, and that will impact our moods to a degree. But their hormones should be stable. Their mood should be stable. So we look at all that, right, as a place to start. And then we start to run lab tests, and we start to see, what does your blood sugar look like? What are some markers of inflammation look like? How's your liver? The liver is very important because your liver is what detoxifies everything that comes in. And most of your aches and pains can be attributed to the liver being toxic. And one of the most common forms of liver disease today, the most common, is something called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And a lot of patients actually have that, but the average person that you're talking about has that and doesn't know. So you're not going to see that in a lab test, but when you have abdominal weight gain, if that's where you're holding a lot of your weight, then that's a pretty good sign. If you're bloated after meals, that's another good sign. So we look at all these signs and symptoms, and then we might start a person on like a detox protocol for 60 days, like a medically supervised detox, bring down some inflammation in their body. We're going to address the diet, so we're going to you know, walk them through a protocol to start to reduce the sugars, start to incorporate more fruits and vegetables, while we're supplementing, while we're supporting, you know, the areas. We want to get them sleeping better. So as they start to sleep better, they have more energy, they feel better, And now it's easier for them to actually feel motivated enough to keep up with a healthy lifestyle. And people don't have to be perfect. I just want to make that clear. You're doing a lot of really good things for yourself. Not everybody wants to be there, right? Not everybody
right.
wants to be Jacqueline. Jacqueline's great. you know, what I'm after for people is quality of life. And I think that's, you know, when you look at COVID-19 again, it's like, you know, this obviously impacted our quality of life quite a bit. And, you know, it's creating a lot of fear for a lot of people for different reasons. But it
right.
shows us our, you know, immortality, right? You know, and I like to think of it this way. We don't know how long we're going to live, right? But we have people in our lives that depend on us, that count on us.
Right.
So we want to make sure that we're as healthy as we can be for those people for as long as we're here. I don't want somebody to be, and I'm sure you don't, dependent, you know, like they have to take care of me. I need a caretaker. Nobody wants
right,
to be a
right.
caretaker either. And we
right.
really need to think about those things. So I just look at it as quality of life. You don't know how long you're going to live, right? But you want that life that you have to be as good as you want it to be. But for some people, that means, you know what, I just want a good night's sleep. And for some people, that means I want to be off my blood pressure medication. I don't want to have to take insulin every day. And for some people, that means I want to be as strong as I can be. So,
so
I really just approach each one differently.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perspective is important. So I was going to ask you another question, but before, because you and I can have a great time with this conversation, I want to make sure, Lori, do we have any more callers anymore?
We do. We have another caller from 516. Do you want to introduce yourself? Do you have a question? Okay, we've got people listening.
Well, it's 516,
you're
live. They could be on mute. 516, you're live and on the air with Straight Up, with The Creative Alchemist. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, hello, Adele. This is Dr. Matt, who's on air talking about health.
Hi, I've heard a lot about you.
Thanks for calling, Adele.
Thanks for calling, yeah.
Yeah, Adele is one of my good friends. So I don't know if you had a question or you're listening in.
I'm listening because I probably have 7,000 questions.
Okay.
Well, let's start with number one.
I have time
let's
for the first
it.
One.
I don't even know where to start. I was diagnosed with autoimmune, but nothing specific. Lori knows all the health issues and with the eating that I have an issue with. For some reason, I just can't get myself to do what I'm supposed to do. And I am lethargic. I am tired. I am exhausted all the time. Migraines. Just it's like unmotivated because of it.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that you feel that way, Adele. I think a lot of people, well, we know there's a lot of people with autoimmunity that also don't have a diagnosis. So it's a hard place to be because as a patient, you know, you want an answer, like what do I have? And then you hope that a treatment comes with that answer.
Right.
In my experience, I mean, I deal with a lot of autoimmune patients. Often because those are the people who are not helped in conventional therapies, it's limited because in autoimmunity, your body starts to attack itself, right? And so there's going to be different triggers for that. And there's some of the same things. Some of them, you know, there's a genetic code there likely. But, you know, lifestyle, so if I'm not making good food choices, I don't think that's the only trigger for most people. You know, stress can trigger. There could be an infection that you had at some point that triggers. There could be a gut issue that triggers. Exposure in a home or a building to mold is one that I found to be very common in autoimmunity. Some people, like on Long Island especially, they've gotten a bit by a tick, and that'll cause an autoimmune response. But what we understand about autoimmunity is that the body, the immune system, has lost its ability to really just regulate itself, to modulate itself, to balance itself. So whereas normally your body would respond to something, you know, foreign, it's now responding against itself. Here's the good news. So there'll be a wide array of symptoms. So you could have headaches, you could have joint pains, you can have fatigue, you know, you're not sleeping. I mean, it's an endless list of symptoms that can be there. I find usually an autoimmune patient is going to have somewhere between 10 and 20 symptoms that are present at any given time. And they can switch. They can change the symptoms. And so there's definitely a spectrum of autoimmunity, and sometimes it's usually somewhere between 3 and 8 years to actually even get a diagnosis. And I always tell autoimmune patients, you don't want the diagnosis.
Right.
When you get the diagnosis, now you've destroyed enough tissue where they can actually find where the tissue is being destroyed. You're better off without the diagnosis and calming it down so that you can never find it. That's the truth.
Right.
Like, for example, like with multiple sclerosis, you don't get a diagnosis of MS until you've had a lot of damage going on to the nerves.
Right.
But we could see MS happening before. We could see it 10 years earlier if we're looking. We're paying attention to the symptoms and the signs. If we were, you know, running some of the right testing, we could probably catch it early. So, but with the good news is that there is a lot that you can do from a holistic, functional perspective to calm down the immune system, to help to put it in better balance. Now, there are medications that could support that without a diagnosis. That doesn't always happen. But the medications, I think there are better ways. The medication could be a tool, but I think there's just a lot of other things that could happen. You have to look for the source. You know, you're going to see nutrient deficiencies here. You're going to see the need for some dietary changes. And by the way, just changing your diet won't take care of everything, but it will go a long way in calming your immune system, because every time you eat, the immune system gets aggravated. That's typical. That's normal. Anybody eats. That initiates an immune response. That's supposed to happen. But when you have autoimmunity, the response is already happening in the background. So when you take in that food, the food can be even more inflammatory. So we do want to adjust diet. But there are a lot of things that you can do, again, to balance the immune system. Balancing your hormones can help balance the immune system as well. There are peptides that we use. Peptides are like these protein messengers, similar to hormones, but a little bit different in that they actually tell your body to produce more hormones or produce healing proteins. So there's a lot of treatments available for someone like yourself. It needs to be very individualized to you. We need to see what might be triggering. The good news I can tell you, too, about headaches is this might sound a little bizarre for people that have headaches, but usually the easiest thing to get rid of.
Okay. Well, I used to get injections, and I stopped because I figured that couldn't be healthy.
What, like a Botox with headaches?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. You're just numbing it, but there's a cause for the headaches.
Right.
And I was telling another patient a story today. I had this patient patient in the last 2 years, and it was such an interesting case. The guy was an engineer. I mean, he's an engineer, but he retired. So he was like in his late 60s, and he came in because he had a lot of brain fog, and he was losing his mental clarity, and he felt like he was getting dementia, and he didn't know what was wrong with him. And then he found out that he had a mold exposure at a house that he was living in, and he was doing some reading online, and he found me, and he came in. And really smart guy. He had a lot of symptoms. He had 15 to 20 symptoms at that point, but was most concerned about his brain health. And so we went through it, and we went through a treatment protocol with him, and he felt a lot better, you know, over a period of about 6 months. But one thing that he still had was headaches, and his headaches would not go away. And I just told you headaches are easy to get rid of. So, and because that's been my experience in practice. So I said to him, I go, you know, you're still having these headaches. Do you want me to try to help you with this? And he's like, yeah, that would be great. He goes, but I've had these for like 20 years, even before I had these other issues. So I said, all right. He says, I take a caffeine pill every night, and that helps my headaches. Otherwise, I'll wake up with a terrible headache, or I'll wake up in the middle of the night with it. And he drinks, you know, whatever amount of coffee he drinks during the day. Well, I said, what I want you to do, you're not going to like this, I want you to come off the caffeine and the coffee, because that could be contributing to your headaches. He's an engineer, smart guy. He's like, no, you don't understand. That's the only thing that helped me with my headaches. So I said, okay, I'm not going to push you here. And if we did anything like that, it'd be really slow. But I'm just telling you, based on some experience here, that this might be causing the headache. I don't know what caused them initially and why that helped, but today it could be causing your headaches. But that was 20 years ago. So long story short, time went by, and he'd come in, and I'd say, did you ever? No, I still have the headaches. And 6 months later, he comes into my office. He goes, all right, Dr. Lewis, I finally took you up on your offer here, and I came off the caffeine pills and the coffee very slowly, and it didn't feel great right away. He goes, but I'm headache-free for 3 months for the first time in my entire life, like 20 years, as long as I can remember. So when you look at headaches, there's usually a trigger. Something is triggering it. Now, we may have gotten rid of that trigger. It may not have even been the caffeine for him that was causing the headache at that point, but we may have gotten rid of the trigger in some of the other work that we did with him leading up to that, and so that allowed him to come off the caffeine and be okay. You follow? But it could have also been the caffeine. So, looking at lifestyle is really important, and just because we were doing the treatment 20 years ago doesn't mean that it's the appropriate treatment today, if we resolve some of the underlying issues. And because he had that mold exposure, you know, and his brain wasn't working right, he, had come in and we ran the different tests that we talked about. And I, looked at his blood work and looked at his diet, and we addressed a number of issues. And so he just got healthier. He just built more resilience. So with autoimmunity, you don't always need to find what it's called. Again, if you can, of course, that's important. And I never skimp on the diagnostics. But what you do is you build resilience, because autoimmunity, like many other conditions, heart disease, diabetes, cancers, is the body's loss of resilience. And so if you just build resilience, your body can heal quite a bit on its own. You might not cure the condition, but you'll have a much more manageable situation, better quality of life.
Okay. Food is definitely, I think, an issue. My stomach has always been a problem. Stress is what brought this out, and July is going to be 4 years. And I know that's where it all started. And then I had a couple of big surgeries and then stuck in bed, and then it just snowballed from there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I always say it's always a combination of things, right? And that's where that 15-minute doctor visit won't work, because, you just mentioned three or four things right there in that sentence, and each of those things requires time to really understand and see how that contributed.
And they had me on a lot of medications. I've come off of most of it. I'm taking sleeping pills for sleeping because I need it. And I'm taking stomach medication because of the acid reflux. And, it's just, I just don't want to live like this. I'm exhausted. I'm forgetful. I'm definitely foggy. And I just have a hard time with continuing on a daily basis, to keep things on track.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to help you with this, after this call, if it's something you want to do. Like I said, I'm doing, Zoom consults and, virtual medicine. So if it's something that you want to do, I'm here for, whoever's on the line, yourself. They can go to my website. It's okay, Ted, if I give that out.
Absolutely. Give all your contact information.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's drmattintampa.com. So yes, I'm in Tampa, but I'm also licensed in New York, and I'm using Zoom or Skype or different modes of consultation. In fact, I've been doing that for years, even before COVID-19, but certainly we're seeing more and more people like that now. And it's actually really great. I happen to love it. It's very personal.
Okay.
People are in their home environment or wherever they want to be, and it's very comfortable for them. And it's easy. But so if you go to Dr. Matt in Tampa, you spell out Dr., D-O-C-T-O-R, Matt in Tampa. Everything is listed on there, all my fees. If you go to the scheduling or appointments tab, it explains to you, the paperwork that you fill out. It just kind of leads you right through the step. You can schedule yourself. So everything is just really kind of patient-friendly. You take care of it. You show up on my calendar, and I'll show up on that call. You'll get a link for a Zoom consult, and we get started that way. If we want to order lab testing, I send you, sometimes it's a kit that I'll send you in the mail. If you're working with a provider, where you are, I might just say, hey, why don't you ask them to run these tests for you? So there's different ways to get the labs, but we'll do whatever testing we need. And then as far as any treatments, I send the treatments out to you.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Matt.
Thank you.
Very cool. Thanks, Adele.
You got it, Lori. Thank you.
Thank you.
I should have taken that trip with you to Florida.
Everybody
I'm supposed
to
go with
her. To Florida when you can. Yeah, Tampa's nice, and I have a lot of patients from New York, and you know, they don't really all need to come see me here, but sometimes somebody does, and you know, I'll just say, hey, you want to take a vacation in Tampa for the weekend? And I know Lori, you did that, and hopefully you enjoyed your time in Tampa, but most people do. You get a chance to go to the beach, and it's not bad.
Yeah,
definitely not.
I did. It was great.
I know. I was supposed to be there and relax on the beach.
Yeah, it was well worth the visit. So,
when it comes
thanks.
To Tampa, to the beach, I always tell people, come in the springtime. That's when it's the best.
Okay,
summer's too hot. So springtime is when, you know, that's when my family and I, we like to go to the beach. Tampa has some great beaches.
Who knows when we're
going to
be allowed out of the house?
Well, yeah, we're assuming that. But, you know, Clearwater, St. Pete's, really, really nice beaches. Yeah, hopefully, I know in New York it's crazy there, and hopefully you guys get out soon and, you know, they open things up as soon as they can. But, you know, for people like yourself that have health concerns right now, I think it's important that you are careful. I think there are things that could be implemented right away to give you a little bit of an edge. You know, and I'd be happy to talk with you about some of those treatments. But I also think, you know, just as kind of a separate point, that if you're relatively healthy, and that means you don't have any chronic conditions, you're not, you know, very overweight, your blood sugar is normal, your blood pressure is normal, you don't have lung issues, you know, I think people can get out, people can get over this. I know more people that got over it, you know, and the ones that are struggling, again, are the ones that have had chronic conditions. And if it's an autoimmune condition, it's a little more challenging because I really feel for those patients because, you know, they're not in as much control until they get a real handle on what's going on, as, let's say, a diabetic or someone with heart disease. You know, a diabetic.
No, everything else is pretty okay. And my autoimmune is not, I mean, I have plenty of friends who have it, and I'm nowhere near what they are as far as health issues, you know, affecting other parts of my body. So it's really the exhaustion and my stomach, I just think.
Yeah, not, and I'm speaking in general now, like, you know, people who have autoimmunity, I think if they're healthy, if they're strong, if they've been building resilience and they're well managed, that they should be okay. I mean, I'm pretty confident in a lot of the patients that I have that have autoimmunity. I don't need them to be too worried. I want everybody to be cautious, but I don't need them to be panicked about it. But, you know, if like my average patient that has autoimmunity before they've come into the office and they're in pretty bad shape, those wouldn't be people I'd want, you know, just kind of going about their lives right now. And what I was just saying is that, you know, with autoimmunity, it's tricky because the causes are so vast and they vary. And it's just not as simple as like a diabetic where most of it's going to relate back to their diet, not all. Diabetes, by the way, is also autoimmune. A lot of people don't know that. But that's what we're starting to see, is that it's autoimmune, not just type 1, but type 2. So, you know, that's why diabetics are so at risk here also, because they have it's immune issues. And when you get this virus, you get what's called the cytokine storm. The cytokine storm is is your blood cells, you know, your immune system, the white blood cells, that are actually there to help you to fight the virus. But that goes out of control. And when that happens, you can't bring it back into balance, and there's already inflammation there, that's where people get in trouble. So that what I was saying is there's a lot we can do about that, because we can do a lot to balance our immune systems.
Hey, Matt, this in this COVID-19 environment, does that change any way that you engage your patients or what you look for or what
you
recommend to ensure their a strong immune system?
I think what it's done right now, I wouldn't say it's changed our approach very much, because this is what we've been talking about before it happened. You know, like you want to be protected, you want to be healthy because you don't know what tomorrow brings. And one of the biggest concerns I always have for patients is what happens if you get sick tomorrow, right? For whatever reason it might be.
Right.
You know, are you resilient enough to go to the hospital and have treatment? And so our approach has not changed because this is what we've been doing even before, is like trying to put people in their best optimal health position. And I'll tell you what really is disconcerting is to watch TV, first of all, is ridiculous. And listen to these doctors come on and just talk about chronic conditions and how that's like the you know, those people are more at risk, and we know that. But what are you doing about it? What are we doing about it?
Right.
I don't hear anybody on TV saying, so where we did change our approach is I jumped to a certain protocol right away, right now. So if a patient comes in, like I want to deal with what's going on with them, but I also want to give them this protocol that will help to optimize their immune system as quickly as possible without necessarily addressing the cause of the issue. Right? Like we got to do that right away. So that's the only difference, but it's some of the same stuff we might have done anyway. But for example, I mean, why aren't they talking about vitamin? Maybe they are in New York, but I don't see it here. Like, I know they're using vitamin C in New York in the hospitals, but are they talking about that every night? Like, that everybody should be taking 4,000 milligrams or 4 grams of vitamin C every single day? Everybody, right now? Start doing
Never.
It? Yeah. Why aren't they talking about
Nope.
that? Why aren't they talking about quercetin, a flavonoid that helps protect your lungs, that's been around for decades, that has published research? Why aren't we taking quercetin? Why are we not taking zinc? Why are they not saying? I mean, I know people are doing it. You know how I know? If you ask me to get you those supplements right now, they're on a 2-week back order.
Wow.
So people who are paying attention, people who are reading, you know, like someone like myself, I mean, you know, people were stocking up on toilet paper. If you go into my refrigerator now, I have liposomal vitamin C, which is a really fast delivery form of vitamin C, and I've got bottles and bottles of it. I have enough for if everybody in my house were to get sick, I have 4 days to treat them, right? So you take 25 grams if you're sick. That's a pretty high dose. So I have a lot of vitamin C because I don't need toilet paper to save my life. I need vitamin C. But why aren't they talking about that on the news, right? So
priorities, huh?
Yeah, and I mean it's just sad to me because the research is there, and I'm not here to like you know create distrust or whatever. I think people have enough distrust as it is, but unfortunately, I really feel like the medical system, what I call the sick care system, has failed people, and they're failing again right now because all they have is everybody locked in their house. And when most people don't need to be locked in their house, first of all, okay, you know, but even if we agree that they do need to be locked in their house, well, why don't you lock them in and give them some good repair for their immune systems while they're there, instead of just telling them, well, hopefully, you know, we'll use this drug if you have a problem, or we'll intubate you, or we'll, you know, we'll ventilate, we'll use the ventilators. I mean, like, yeah, we need that. Don't get me wrong, we need that. But there's so much more that we could be doing. And I know that there's literally, because I go to seminars every, you know, couple of months, at least every quarter, and I sit with at least 1,000 doctors at each seminar that are talking about what I'm talking about right now. So I know that the doctors are out there, but that's not who's on TV. It's not who's on TV, right? Who's on TV is the people that work for the pharmaceutical industry.
Right. Before we go, we have 6 minutes left, and we have another caller. If you want to ask any questions, it's 516.
Hey, Lori. It's Sloan.
Oh, hey.
Hi.
Thanks for calling, Joan.
Sloan.
Joan or Sloan? Sloan. Okay. Hi, Sloan.
Sloan.
Sloan. Okay.
Oh, you had me laughing at the vitamin C in the toilet paper.
Well, the funny thing is, if you take too much vitamin C, you might actually need more toilet paper.
Yeah, well, if you're a woman, yeah. But I agree with all these things that you're saying. It's funny.
Good.
That's true. I actually saw some toilet paper on the shelf today, but definitely no elderberry syrup or zinc or vitamin C on the shelf.
Right.
Maybe people are starting to catch on. It's very interesting that you did say that about the zinc, too, because a friend of mine that I grew up with, her friend's husband, who also is a kind of a holistic healer and practices nutrition and is a acupuncturist, he actually got COVID, and he was telling some of his other friends that got it, if you don't take the zinc, and you need to take the, you need to be taking zinc and the vitamin C and the vitamin D and all of that. And I just got an email from one of my doctors that they're gonna be giving vitamin D, like vitamin D and whatever drips, what, you know, NutriDrip.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that actually I've heard a lot about you, and I definitely want to make an appointment to speak to you, because I think after you do speak to me, I'm not going to go on the whole detail today. But yeah, I am definitely have a very I don't know what the word is, but a very Lori could probably put the words in my mouth. A very eventful life when it comes to medical issues.
Okay.
And
well, I'll be happy to talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, I actually battled a rare form of adult leukemia when I was a child. And I had less than a 20% chance to survive, and I'm now 51, and I'm here to talk about it. But the back then, what they did to your body was just inconceivable. You know, almost 3 years of chemo, 4 drugs through a port, 4 days a week, every 3 weeks for almost 3 years, radiation to my brain, methotrexate injected in my spinal cord for 6 weeks. It definitely took its toll on my body. And I do feel a lot of times like I get these concerns where I feel like I'm going to end up with either Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or something. I'm only 51, and I just feel like my brain shuts off. It's just weird.
Okay.
And,
yeah, I understand that. And there could be – go ahead. Mm-hmm.
You know, mine's a little bit more of a difficult case only because, my brain was radiated for 6 weeks. I mean,
right.
It had to have taken its toll on it at some point. And
sure. And you can't, you know, you can't take that back. That is what it is. But what you can do is you can optimize what you have there, right? So
exactly.
There's plenty of parts to your brain. Plenty of, obviously, you're here and you're alive and you're thriving. So there's a lot there to work with, to where you just want to build on what you have, right? And you want to optimize what's there. And you might be, and if you think about it, like what you're saying, is you're noticing that maybe there's a change in how your brain is working now. And a lot of people at 50 or 51 will say that, and that could be because the hormones have changed. There's a lot of factors that might be outside of even what your previous medical history was, although I think that counts.
Exactly.
That could be attributing to that or causing that also. So you have to look at the whole thing and see what it is. But I tell people, like, doesn't matter your health history. It matters, but regardless of health history, regardless of where you feel or what you currently, how you feel now, it's never too late to improve on something, to try to optimize something. It's always better to do that, you know, early on. So, yeah,
very
we
cool.
take all those things into consideration, but I think, you know.
I agree with that 100%, and I've tried over the years,
Lori, I think we're about to run out of time, aren't we?
Yeah, we're about to run out. I'm going to send you Dr. Matt's number. And thank you for calling in. Thank you. Thank you for everybody. Matt,
thank
you so
much. Thank you for
much.
Doing this.
Lori,
Matt,
thank you guys for having me. This is great.
Yeah, Matt's information is on my Facebook page, and we'll pass that out as well.
Okay. All right, well,
awesome.
Everybody be well. Be safe.
You too.
Hey,
and
thanks
thank
for
Matt
all the callers.
For coming on today. Thank you.
Yeah,
it was my pleasure.
Matt, for doing such a great job. Yeah, thanks for all the callers and listeners. Really great questions from the callers. So thank you to everyone.
You guys have a great night. Thanks again. Take care, everybody.
You too. Thanks, Matt.
Take care.
Bye.
Have a great evening, everyone. Take care. Goodbye.
Bye.